Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, we got a...
You want to get into the R&B shit?
Yeah, let's get into it. I got it right in front of me here, okay. Courtesy of the high priestess of the Sunday sermon, Naima Cochran, our homegirl. She's talking about, you know, there's been a thing going around about what was the best decade in hip-hop, and we could do that too if you want to, but it inspired her to have what's the best era in R&B. And... so it's 1980s or later, so we're not counting like Aretha Franklin and shit. She's got A, Quiet Storm, which I guess would be early to mid 80s. B, New Jack Swing, late 80s, early 90s. C, Hip Hop Soul, 90s, basically. And D, Neo Soul, which is the 2000s. And Jason, you're the music expert here. I'm going to defer to you first.
Okay, so does Sade count as R&B?
Sade counts. Sade, I think, will be Quiet Storm.
Storm, yeah.
Even though, obviously, she released music all throughout, but, like, right. Her style would, you know, was very Quiet Storm, contemporary R&B.
I think it's neck and neck between Quiet Storm and Hip Hop Soul. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a lean Quiet Storm.
Really?
Yeah, because you got the end of the old niggas. So you got the end of the, Smokies and the Marvins and Luther. Luther's kind of right in the mix of that.
Yeah, his style was still, even as he, again, like Sade, even as he continued to release music, it was still that style. Like that nigga wasn't doing like collabs with.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. And I'm thinking of it as like putting an NBA, all-star, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston, Sade. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my starting backcourt.
Whitney, I'm a push back on Whitney.
Where is she fall? Is she not R&B? She's not R&B. She's not R&B and jams, though.
I guess, man. Like, she doesn't have, like, Michael had a whole ass R&B album.
Right. Okay. Like, so maybe
Whitney was an R. So, like, to me, Whitney would have R&B track. In the same way that Michael on Thriller has, like, PYT is an R&B track.
Right.
But, like, that's a pop album, right?
Right. Okay, so maybe Whitney's not on there, but we could go, you know, Aretha, obviously. I mean, not Aretha. Yeah. Anita.
Anita Baker. Yeah.
Anita Baker.
Patti LaBelle.
Who else?
Shit, man. Let me consult my fucking... my 80s playlist, bro. Because, you know,
yeah. I mean, Prince, right?
Prince again. Because
he's not, he's got to be somewhat R&B. He's got pop
genreless, but he wasn't Quiet Storm though. Like he was, but like his shit was just on some other shit. You got the Pointer Sisters, you got the Mary Jane Girls, you got
I got some oldies playlists too.
You got New Shoes, who I discovered was white. Did not know that until way too late. You got Lisa and the Cult Jam.
I'll be sure.
Denise Williams, I'll be sure. Philip Bailey, yes, no.
Patrice Rushen,
like Earth, Wind and Fire, obviously.
You got Soul to Soul,
Ready for the World, Evelyn King,
Loose Ends,
Rick James, fucking.
I think calling it the Quiet Storm era kind of makes it tricky because this isn't all Quiet Storm music. Yeah. But like that era of R&B had a lot of jams. And that's kind of what I'm saying.
Angela Wimbush.
Right. A lot of jams, a lot of hip hop sample songs, a lot of
Entume.
Yeah, it was a lot of joints. But the hip hop soul era, it was kind of slaying. You know what I'm saying? It was killing that shit.
Let me tell you right now, man. I'm gonna say it like this.
Yeah.
You talk about mega hits. Mega hit crossover hits without crossing over the sound.
Yeah.
Right. In the words of Jay-Z, I ain't crossover about the suburbs of the hood. Like that fucking 90s R&B, man. All that shit was fucking monstrous, man. Hey, man. Look, R. Kelly.
Right. Shut the conversation down.
Just everything. The whole decade. I get it. He's an awful person. But like musically, not only did he put out bangers, but he was fucking he was producing and writing for everybody. And by the way, it's some niggas that was from the pre-1980s that got into the 1980s Quiet Storm and then transitioned into hip hop soul and beyond. It's the Isley Brothers. And that transition happened because they started working with R. Kelly.
Yep.
Let me say this. What's your least favorite?
Least favorite? Okay. What was the other? It's New Jack.
It's New Jack and Neo Soul. I'll tell you, it's easy for me. It's fucking Neo Soul. Hilly ass niggas, man. Oh my God, wearing brown all the time and
everything is brown. Everything is tan and brown.
All that Grand Rising bullshit came from. All the hoteps. It all came out of that shit. Oh, Trey's in here. Damn. But I think Jerv's already on his flight, so.
But we got some cuts though in the Neo. So like
There's some cuts, but
Erykah Badu had a very strong career.
She did.
You know,
she stands out.
I love Jill Scott. There was a bunch of like cool little singles, I feel like, you know, the Dwele, Glenn Lewis, Dave Hollister, you know, like there was a lot.
You're saying that, and I'm thinking about niggas with big suit jackets, button up shirts, and sweaters over the button up shirt,
right,
and a hat. And it's never like a regular hat, it's always got to be like one of them Kangol, like cabbie hats, or some shit like that, or a fedora.
But there's niggas who jumped eras too, like Rafael Sadiq. I'm thinking about he came in New Jack. And then
did hip hop soul,
and then Neo Soul. He went all the way through. So, you know, D'Angelo, where he kind of hip hop soul to Neo Soul. So,
but my favorite shit is the fucking hip hop soul shit. So,
yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But I think it's some niggas that's in the Neo Soul that started off hip hop soul that I really fuck with. But yeah, the Neo Soul could go definitely out of all of the.
Here's the thing, like the New Jack Swing is probably got the least replay value unless you're going
of the drums.
The drum set, man. This shit is just
it's dated like as fuck.
Fucking listening, it feels good, man. I'm like, oh man, like I can't play this shit.
Nah.
I can play it by myself, but like I can't be like in the car, like, yeah. It feels good. But man, autumn, the total fucking remixes,
yeah. Case,
Can't You See, and all that shit with En Vogue, all the like Brownstone,
mm-hmm.
Escape.
Yep.
Even like the one-hit wonders from the 90s, man, like it's crazy. You go through the 90s R&B, goddamn, let me look over here. Fucking Sunshine Anderson, Heard It All Before. That shit is a banger, man. Yeah. Oops, Oh My.
Yeah, this is like early 2000s, like 99, 2000. Yeah.
That's 90, like I'm getting out of the 90s.
Yeah.
Idina Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Groove Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Janae.
Is that
Janae? Yep. Fucking, where is it? Yvette Michelle, Allure didn't really. Now, in retrospect, I'm like, they didn't have any business being, but they did. They had a couple of hits. Avon, now he's one that went and came back.
Oh, Avant, yeah. He had some shit. I fuck with Avant.
City High.
They had a couple. What was that? That was Wyclef's group.
That was Wyclef. He was smashing Claudette Ortiz, man.
Shout out to him, man.
Shout out to her. Still single?
Right.
702, 3LW. All them little groups, man, that didn't really do shit, but like.
They had a couple hits.
They had hits, man.
Yeah.
Fucking, so I don't know. Like 90s R&B to me is always going to be, that's my heart. Right. I'm with you. I got like a deep appreciation for the 80s shit, particularly because a lot of them 90s songs were sampling the 80s songs. So
exactly.
It's hard not to have that respect there.
Yeah,
New Jack. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, because you know, getting older, like you kind of go back to shit, and then I feel like the 80s has the most replay value because it's not that super noisy, it's very soulful. The beat is easy, you know what I'm saying? Smooth, it's a jam. You could put it on anywhere, you know.
Even like their fucking party tracks, man.
Yeah, cuts.
I mean, it's there's some shit that goes, man. It goes. It always goes.
Yeah.
New Jack got no replay, but I still like it. Like it's happy music. That's the thing about New Jack. Like there wasn't no like fucking my baby left me, New Jack. Right, there was no heartbreak. Them niggas were just happy all the time.
It's Motown Philly niggas.
And you know what the poster child for Neo Soul is for me forever?
What?
Every time someone says Neo Soul, I always think about the same person. I always think of the same song. Music Soul Child. I don't want a friend. You could just be friends. I'm like, shut the fuck up, nigga. I'm not trying to be no friends.
What about
I got friends?
What about Bilal? Because that's the first person I think of. Bilal and Dwele are the
wearing two, them fucking knit hats.
Yeah, Bilal and Dwele are the two people. When you say Neo Soul, their avatar just pops up into my head.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
And it all, it's yes, but also I blame these motherfuckers for influencing the Talib Kweli's and the Mos Defs, who should have been rapping a lot harder.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the subject matter should have been untrue to themselves, but like them niggas have cuts where it's like, yeah, nigga, rap like that. What you doing? They're just fucking,
yeah,
because they just getting high with these fucking neo soul
pontificating, you know, with niggas.
Yeah. And bitches too.
And you know what I'm saying? So speaking of neo soul and hip hop soul and all that, Lauryn Hill recently performed.
The realest, that's a realest nigga on earth right there.
So I share a birthday with Lauryn Hill. So I'm always like keyed into her shit. So Lauryn Hill, Lenny Kravitz, Miles Davis, Pam Grier, and John Wayne, oddly enough.
God damn, that nigga. I know he mad.
Yeah, exactly. Like all these niggas. but yeah, she got on stage and basically told her fans, like, y'all niggas is lucky that I even show up to the show that you pay for.
She got on stage late.
Late and told niggas.
Late on stage, the motherfuckers were complaining, and she said,
you niggas is lucky I even pulled up to this raggy motherfucker.
She went Alonzo from goddamn Training Day. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah. Putting cases on all you. Yeah, but nah, she's wild for that, bro. I mean, yeah, she's a real nigga, but also she's a real nigga. Like, that's nigga shit.
I'm gonna tell you why I totally respect it as a real nigga move.
Yeah.
Because it is November 2023.
Yeah.
And people are still paying money to go see Lauryn Hill in concert with an expectation that she's gonna show up on time. We are 25 years deep into this shit, ladies and gentlemen. What makes you think she changed? Like, to me, if you go to a Lauryn Hill concert, I would say number one, make sure you eat like a nice heavy greasy meal. Number two, pace yourself with the alcohol, right? Like right, maybe right. White Claw it up,
right? But until the first hour,
until like the first hour and a half she's late,
right?
And then maybe then start escalating, like, but like this idea that people are like, Lauryn Hill was like, yeah, man, that's what she does. That's like,
she's part of the show at this point.
Yeah, it could be any more on brand. Right. Like, you better be there with a group of friends or like someone that you just enjoy being around.
Right.
And y'all could crack jokes and do whatever. And by the way, this shit reminds me of one of my favorite fucking NBA stories. Hmm. When Tracy McGrady got on the jump, the first episode he did on The Jump, which I believe was the first episode of The Jump, Rachel Nichols was like, the future Hall of Famer. And he's like, what? And I'm like, motherfucker, you going to Hall of Fame? And that wasn't an act. Tracy truly did not think he was going to be a Hall of Famer. And we're like, what are you talking about? Like, the scoring titles, all NBA, like, all the shit you've done, of course you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. So the call comes and it's like, he's going to the Hall of Fame. And everyone's like, great. So his wife wants to throw him a surprise party, congratulating him on being inducted. She, man, she put in extra work. I don't know how she found my email. She emailed me like, hey, can you make it? Like, everybody, she's doing all this shit, getting people. We're going to Houston. We're going to do it at the Marriott Marquis in Houston, which is on the rooftop. They got this lazy river that looks like the state of Texas. If you're in a hotel room, you look down, it looks like a map of the state of Texas. It's kind of dope, whatever. But like, don't tell Tracy. No, he can't know. Y'all are here, whatever. So we all flew out there. We got there. Niggas had a big screen up and was playing his highlights and shit at a DJ. And I'm talking about everybody from his life was there. Jeff Van Gundy was there. Rafer Alston was there. Vince, like everybody was there, right? And so they were waiting. Okay, we got the text. She said they're in the elevator now. They walk up, they walk out, and our shit is all the way at the end. So it's like you don't really see what's happening until you get closer. And as he's coming closer, he's like, he started noticing, oh, that's, wait, what are y'all doing? And then, well, oh, surprise, and everyone, like, everyone's, like, cheersing and shit. And then, like, the shit died down for a second, and Tracy was like, so, is there a Lauryn Hill concert? Because that's what she told him. She told him we're going to a Lauryn Hill concert. And so he's like, so they pull up to the hotel, and she tells him, let's get a drink first because you know she's going to be late.
Late.
And so he's like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Right. So they go like to this rooftop, to the bar. Yeah. And when he walks out, everybody's there. That's and like, hilarious. But the funniest shit is my man was like, this is great. But also like, is she in concert or not?
Because I was kind of hyped for the concert. Like, it's good to see you guys, but I'm trying to see this once in a life. It's like seeing the Loch Ness Monster.
For real, man. Would you pay to go see Lauryn Hill at this point?
Jeez. How much?
How much are Lauryn Hill tickets going for? I don't know. Look, this is what I'm...
To answer your question, yes, but I have a threshold. Like, if it was any more than, like, $60...
Okay. It's going to be more. It's funny. I'm looking at the StubHub thing, and it says, buy now to avoid disappointment. I'm like, a little too late for that. Let's see. Okay. You are in LA. So Ontario. She's in Ontario, November 16th. Let's see what the tickets are saying. Okay. Accept and continue. Yeah. Okay. Get in price is about $69 in the 200 section. You want to be in the 100 section, it's about $99. You want to be on the floor, $129. That's the starting price.
Yeah, I'm cool. And then I'm not doing that.
179 to be in the pit.
Yeah, because there's too much of a chance that it's not gonna happen.
That she might not show up. Like that's it's not just being late. Like she might just be like
she might just not come. And then Praz is still showing up, even though that nigga's supposed to be in jail.
Yo, the crazy thing about Lauryn Hill, man, is like I think about Lauryn Hill a lot when I think about NBA players. That blow up too fast.
Yeah.
Right? In that Lauryn Hill was part of the Fugees, which was like this great group, and they had their first album. First album was dope, and then the second album comes out. The second album is, for a long time, like the number one selling hip-hop album of all time.
Yeah.
And it crosses over, and it blows her up into this space where it's like, oh, shit. Right? Like, it went from, like, I can go down the block to go get a cheeseburger to now.
Everybody knows.
Like, in the same way, like, the Britney Spears documentary, where she's like, I can't go to Starbucks? No, bitch, you can't go to Starbucks. Like, this, that's over for you.
Yeah.
But then she puts out her solo album.
Yeah.
And I would say the Fugees shit was cool. It was dope. It was apolitical.
Yeah.
But then her solo album is such a, like, personal fucking thing. And she's talking about very black issues on this.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we're going on tour. And she's like, I'm showing up to the arena. And it's like 20,000 white people. and it broke her fucking brain, bro.
Yep.
Like, I mean, she was like, I don't make my music for those people. And that was a big fucking controversy.
You know, yeah.
Those people made you diamond or whatever. But it's like, I get what she's saying.
Man. Yeah. That's not who this is about. That's not who this is for. Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts about Lauryn Hill. Like, I was a super fan of hers. I remember buying her album. Actually, I remember asking my grandmother for $20. And she was like, yeah, if you clean the house, I'll give you $20. And I took that $20 and bought Lauryn Hill's album. So I've been a fan of hers for a very long time. That story reminds me of Dave Chappelle and what he says will happen to him on the Chappelle show. And I think it's a very similar thing where, like you said, you do this great thing, you know, and it's encapsulates everybody. It moves out of your subgenre and then it starts to touch other people.
Which has to be weird, by the way, for someone who you're already famous.
Yeah.
Like, hey, nigga, you about to be like famous. Like, I'm famous. What you talking about? Like, no, nigga, like it's another level.
Right. And doing something that's more personal. Like, even Chappelle's thing is like his stand-up is kind of a little more broad, but the show is kind of very black specific jokes and like very much in jokes of how we talk and yo son and you know Donnell Rawlins and all that, Ashley Larry, all them Tyrone Biggums, all these is just like black jokes. And the fact that that's the shit that sent you over the line, you know, it's crazy. Same with Lauryn Hill, is like the fact that, you know, to Zion and you know, all these are the songs, you know, she's got the school children skits and shit where it's like, this is a very, very black, you know, black album.
Dude, even like, think about like the biggest song on that album was fucking Doo-Wop, right?
Yeah.
The shit that she's talking about is it's a very black song.
Yeah. Even she's talking about hair weave done by European. Yeah. Like she's talking shit on that song, but it's like, yeah. So you don't, as an artist, I can imagine you thinking, oh, I'm making an introspective personal album, you know, might go gold, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. I'm going to do my thing, get away from the Fugees. And then to have that supersede that, it has to, you know, even that aspect. And then, you know, they said she has so many issues with the people who actually co-wrote it.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, but that's the music industry. Yeah.
Right. And so I think like she kind of got caught up in that music industry thing where she thought she was just going to be an artist and make music and have this and then realize like, well, now these people don't fuck with you. So you got to find new producers. You had that situation with Wyclef's. So you have to find new producers after that. So, and she probably was just like, man, I don't feel like doing that shit, you know? And that's kind of the vibe I get from her overall is like, she wanted to make music. She wanted to be an artist. She was an actress, right? She was in Sister Act too. Like she wanted to do all that shit. And after she accomplished it and there was like a lot of bullshit in front of her doing other shit, she was like, I don't even need to do that. Like,
I don't want to be, I don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah. I don't even want to play this game anymore. Yeah. Like I already won. Like what's the win in me doing that? And so then that's kind of what I because I was so frustrated with Dave Chappelle for a long time. And I think he helped me reach that conclusion. Because I was like, man, what? Why wouldn't he do a Chappelle show, season 3?
Season
man?
4 or whatever, yeah.
Season 3 for us, man. We love him. We love everything, every skit he does. Like, why wouldn't he just, when he came back, you know, somebody's going to give him $50 million to do it. Just do it with somebody you like, you know? But it was like, he already won. And he didn't feel like he needed to play the game at that point anymore. Obviously, he came back, but... You know, and then
but he came back under completely his
different,
own,
yeah. His own,
like, I don't have to deal with this, the structure,
right?
Like the infrastructure of Hollywood,
yeah.
In his case, in her case, with the infrastructure of the music industry, like, I don't want to deal with it. Like, I think, and that's a part I think a lot of people struggle to understand is like, how could someone who is so great at this thing not want to keep making compromises in their life in order to keep doing that thing? Right, it's kind of like fucking Barry Sanders. Saying, you know, y'all got it. Like,
I'm gonna hang it up.
Everyone's like, no, this nigga's gonna come back after a year or whatever. And he's like, he never came back. Same thing with Megatron. It's like,
yep.
I'm good. Like, I feel fine physically. I have a lot of money.
Yep.
Like, I don't need this. It's not this idea that I have to be the most storied or whatever. It's not real. It's not applicable. And I think there's a lesson in that, man. Like, happiness does not come from like ultimate achievement. Happiness comes from like, yo, did you do what you set out to do? Like, are you cool?
Right.
I'm cool.
And the other side of it too, that I also recently realized is that, I mean, she kind of doesn't really seem that happy, but I think sometimes we listen to music and don't realize like the person's really like kind of crying out. And if you think about what she's talking about on the music, she had a lot of trauma, you know,
and so, and Wyclef was fucking her too.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So she went through a lot of bullshit. So this is like, we look like, oh, the album is so great, but it's like, kind of like the same thing with Mary J. Blige. Like I saw her documentary and shit, and I was like, oh yeah, Mary J. Blige is rapping about or like singing about being sad and going through bullshit all the time.
She was sad the whole time, bro.
And yeah, I'm like,
the whole fucking time.
You know, and to me, I'm just like a kid listening to music like da-da-da-da-da. But then you start looking like, damn, these is real people and they singing about the shit they're actually going through. So if we think about the miseducation of Lauryn Hill, she's telling
the
you.
The title.
Like, yeah, like she's telling
no, you. You remember the Rick and Morty episode where Little Rick, where he clones himself or yeah, he makes
him. Yeah, and he has a tiny version of him.
The tiny Rick and tiny Rick is like always partying and shit. Every time he talks, he's like, yeah, I got like existential sadness. Yeah. Like,
and everybody's like Tiny Rick. Yeah,
it's like, exactly. Hey, man, he's telling you like I'm dying in here.
Yeah.
Oh, it brings me back to like one of my favorite fucking songs, not because it's like that great of a song, but just because the lyrics are just so opposite of what everyone is celebrating. It's fucking I Took a Pill in Ibiza, which was a fucking massive, fucking super duper international hit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, y'all ain't hear it. This nigga's literally saying, I know a sad song. Like, I'm just a singer who already blew his shot. I get along with old timers because my name's a reminder of a pop song people forgot. Niggas talking because remember he had that fucking, if I could write you a song to make you, mm-hmm. that was the pop song. He's like, he's literally telling you like, I blew my whole fucking life. I'm done. Like, I can't form relationships. I can't keep a girl, no, because as soon as sun come up, I cut them all loose. It works as my excuse, but the truth is I can't open up. And the hook is, I know a sad song. And this shit was the number one EDM part. Going hard to that shit, man. That shit crossover. They're playing that shit urban stations and shit, man. Motherfuckers just thinking, fuck. And I'm thinking about like this nigga, like, yo, this is a cry for help. And everyone's like, yo, you that dude, Tiny Rick.
Exactly. Oh, man.
Damn. By the way, as to a nice bow on all of this shit,
yeah,
I looked up the Wikipedia for the miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and this is exactly how it. It says, the miseducation of Lauryn Hill is a neo-soul and R&B album. Like, fuck you. It was not neo-soul.
It was not neo-soul.
White people. Somebody white wrote that.
Definitely.
Shit.
Niggas don't damn Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they are, it's to say some shit like, oh, someone got dunked on, oh, died November 12th, 2023.
All right.
It's always some shit like that.
I love that.
Oh man. All right. Well, fuck it. That's gonna do it for us here. Shout out to John Gervais producing from afar. Shout out to Jay Skills and me. We the two ones to hold it down. Trey tried to show up, but he couldn't get into the thing. Juju tried to show up, but he couldn't get in the thing earlier too. So we apologize. But we'll all be back next week and maybe we'll give Trey some more shit for his goddamn nigga tux he got on. It's like, you don't, I don't want you to be a nigga. I want you to be my nigga. It's like, who you call a nigga? You are
just, with this nigga tux on.
Nigga tie on. This nigga tux on.
All right.
Stay black.
Stay black, motherfuckers.